Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Kaf, Chapter 20. So let's review Chapter 19. To recap, in Chapter 19 we observed the overwhelming loneliness and alienation that Iyov feels. His friends humiliated him and abandoned him. God has made his life so unbearable. His wife finds him disgusting, and the grandchildren keep their distance. What could be a greater punishment than that? His friends, whose connection is the intellectual arena, the marketplace of ideas, have abandoned him as well. Iyov feels very betrayed by his intellectual circle of friends, and he wants his story shared with others. And if necessary, he will engrave it on rock with a stylus and fill in the letters with lead. Maybe others will show him sympathy. His friends are a big disappointment to him. And in the last verse, Iyov warns the friends that they will get their retribution for abandoning him. And maybe it's not just a warning, but a veiled curse, as we saw was the view of Amos Chacham. In this perek, chapter 20, Tzofar responds very sharply to Iyov's laments and feels compelled to answer Iyov's insulting remarks. Tzofar, also like the friends Eliphaz and Bildad before him, ramps up the criticism to a fever pitch. Tzofar is very creative in his descriptions of the recompense of the wicked. And Tzofar clearly states that the extreme punishments of Iyov point to his extreme crimes. That punishment always fits the crime. In verse 5, Tzofar says, Hazot yadata mini ad mini simadam ala aretz? Are you all knowing that you can judge whether your situation is fair? Do you know everything since time began and Adam was created? We had this phrase before. Tzofar is accusing Iyov of thinking he is all-knowing, like God. The mighty fall because they are greedy and constantly hungry for wealth, says Rashi. Therefore, they steal from the needy to satisfy their insatiable desires. So Tzofar is accusing Iyov of actual wickedness. And so much of the perek is devoted to things that wicked people do. And Rashi is explaining that Tzofar is especially targeting Iyov's wealth. And he did, there's no proof, right? But he's imagining and saying, oh, he must have done all these horrible things because he was greedy and hungry for money, and therefore he stole from the needy and the poor. Tzofar says, God punishes the evil man, and the heavens will reveal his sin. Again, Tzofar does not have proof of all these terrible sins that he's saying that Iyov committed. But he's saying the fact that all these bad things are happening to you is a way of God showing that you did all these horrible things. Ah, all your wealth was taken? That obviously means that you took money from the poor. Ah, your kids were killed? Obviously you oppressed individuals. So he's saying punishment must fit the crime. Tzofar does not mince words at all. In verse 28, Yigel yevul beito, nigarot biyom apo, ze chelek adam rasha me'elokim, ve nachalat imro me'el. Bildad ends, Zophar ends his whole speech. What's going to be your end? And what is the wicked person's end? Everything contained in his house will be exiled and swept away on the day of God's wrath. Biyom Apo, right? The day of God's wrath. And he says, as we saw before, right? Zechelek Adam Rasha me'elokim. Zophar very clearly says that, you lost your house, you lost your family, you lost all your money. That's what God does to the evildoers. So obviously you are a Rasha, and this is your portion and legacy from God. I would like to discuss some of Maimonides' views on Sefer Iyov, the book of Job. Maimonides, Rav Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, was born in Cordova, Spain in 1138 and passed away in Fostat, Egypt in 1204. The Rambam was one of the most, if not the most notable Torah scholar, Talmudist, halachist, philosopher, thinker, Jewish physician of all time. Again, we did Rashi the other day. Rashi, also one of the most. So when you're coming to the super, 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 super greats, it's hard to put a number one, a number two, a number three. They really are just so great. And as we said earlier, the Rambam, Rashi, Ramban, they are just up there. They are just the best. Two major works of the Rambam, otherwise we could spend all day on this, were the Mishneh Torah, the Yad HaChazakah, the 14-volume work on Halacha, which is his magnum opus, and his Guide to the Perplexed, the Moreh Nevuchim, which he wrote for his student to answer some of his questions. In Part 3, Chapters 22 and 23, the Rambam analyzes Sefer Iyov, the Book of Iyov. And these ideas are from the Guide to the Perplexed. The general view of the friends is that those who act well will receive reward, and those who act wickedly are punished. But each friend teaches a more specific lesson. So we saw time and time again, all the friends agree that if you do a crime, you receive the punishment. And obviously, Iyov must have sinned, and that's why he was receiving punishment. But we saw that there were some differences in what the friends said. So here, Rambam says, okay, we're going to delve into more specific views of each friend. According to the Rambam, and we saw this a lot in the text, Eliphaz's main point is that Iyov deserved his punishment because of sin. Bildad's addition to that main argument was the argument of gemul, recompense. That sometimes the more you suffer, if you don't deserve all of it because of sin, you will be paid back gloriously in the end of your life. That the yisurin, the suffering, can bring goodness in the end. Zophar's contribution to the discussion beyond the earlier general statement is that God does not have to have reasons for what he does. God does, because God can do whatever he wants. Elihu, who will be the last speaker that we will meet, teaches, according to Rambam's view, the idea that wisdom and knowledge is attained only when a man realizes, or when man realizes and acknowledges, that God's knowledge is very different from ours. And God's providence and actions are not like man's. which means we can never, ever really know God. It's a separate area of knowledge. God does and God knows, and we have different rules here on earth. It's not like we can fathom what God is thinking or saying or doing. Once man knows this, that he cannot fathom God, humans can love God without the worry of the philosophical dilemma of divine providence. Man should not spend his time thinking, oh, is God just, is not not just, is what happened to me just or not? Because that's beyond man's ability to evaluate. Since man has no way to assess that, it just is in a different realm. Another interesting view of Maimonides regarding Eov is that Eov is called Tam V'yashar, Yirei Elokim V'sar Meira, wholesome, upright, God-fearing, and shunning evil. However, he was not called knowledgeable, because the only way Eov could really become knowledgeable would be to realize his limitations and to realize that chasm between his knowledge and God's knowledge. According to Rambam, Maimonides, right? We're still speaking about Maimonides. Following the view of the Agadah, the Midrashic rabbinic interpretation, says that the Satan here was the evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara. This is in Rambam's Moreh Nevuchim. We're continuing with that. Therefore, when Eov was in pain and only knew God through the accepted ideas of the time, and he was motivated by Yetzer Hara, and he didn't have independent knowledge, he was troubled by the injustices of life. But once Elihu helped him understand the inability to even try to understand God, Eov was ready for God's revelation to him in the final chapters. We're going to learn all this together. And Eov, who was just God-fearing in the beginning, transforms into a God-loving individual. What's important here is Maimonides, the Rambam's outlook on the Sefer, that the discussion is about crime and punishment. We do not know how God does that. We know he does. And that Eov first really was relating to God out of fear, but by the end, he relates to God out of love. And that we cannot understand God's knowledge and God's actions because it is so different and beyond our own. So to sum up, in our chapter, Tzofar responds very sharply to Eov's laments and feels compelled to answer Eov's insulting remarks. Tzofar, also like the friends Eliphaz and Bildad before him, ramps up the criticism to a fever pitch. Tzofar describes all the evil actions that Eov did, without proof that he did them. But he says, oh, evildoers are punished, and therefore Eov must be evil because he's being punished so harshly. Tzofar clearly states that extreme punishments point to extreme crimes, and Eov obviously deserves everything that he received because he must be wicked. We analyze the different views of the four friends according to the Rambam in the Guide to the Perplexed, and discussed Rambam's view of the transformation of Eov from one who fears God to one who loves God. Next class, we will learn together chapter 21, Eov's response to Tzofar's caustic accusations. Thank you for studying together, Ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.